Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am so delighted to welcome Rachel Clark to the studio. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Damali.
Oh, you are an amazing force. I want to tell everyone how we met. We were actually both serving on the Women's Committee of the New York Bar Association, and they had a subcommittee that we both served on. And prior to that, I just sort of admired you from afar. You were really involved in the committee, and you had the most amazing California vibe that everyone felt.
Well, thank you. I love that you mentioned the California vibe, just because I have not, I've tried not to give that up. I mean, I love New York. I don't want to live anywhere else. California is near and dear to my heart, especially now that I can rock my tennis shoes and my Vans all over the place. It keeps that spirit alive.
Brings California to New York City, which is phenomenal. Tell us more about you, Rachel.
So I went to school on the East Coast. That's kind of when I first fell in love with it. I've lived abroad. I lived in Moscow for a couple of years, and that was when I really understood that I was a city person. And I came to New York and made the decision to Sunday morning.
Wow.
And it kind of goes with my follow my gut, follow my intuition, and the path that unfolds for you is what's meant to be. I moved to New York after graduating from law school from the Maurer School of Law at Indiana University in Bloomington. And I've been here about, I think this is my 12th year.
Wow.
So I tell people that I'm a trifecta professional in the legal community, in that I have litigation experience, in-house experience, and as well as consulting experience. But what I'm really excited about now is that I've pivoted to being an art curator. And in addition, it's curator, connector, and contact point, because in addition to curating art exhibits, specifically focusing on street art and other emerging contemporary artists, I try to connect artists with potential collectors. And in addition, I want to inform potential collectors who already collect that the value in street art and the potential value in street art, and how these artists are really just forging new paths. And then additionally, I want to make art accessible for people who may not have – who like art but didn't know that you could take it home.
Yeah.
And I'm always advising people that you take the piece that every day you walk in your house, and it what brings you joy. But the second prong of my curation is I'm curating for charities. And so that is an exciting piece, because it's my opportunity to give back to the community and all of these wonderful causes. So in art exhibits, collaborating with other creatives and curators, the charity work, and even actually started to move into staging, helping brokers stage real estate apartments.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's pretty amazing, Rachel.
Yeah.
So from California to Moscow to several countries in between and cities,
right,
to New York City, the trifecta professional in the legal world, and then pivoting to embrace your passion for street art, not only as a curator, but also bridging gaps for nonprofits, for charities in general, and even helping in the real estate front to stage, to help people who are looking at trying to envision their life in a new space.
Right. And that what I didn't know about myself is that I had a vision and a talent there. And so it's interesting to have kind of taken the leap and accepted a talent that I didn't really know I had, and then sharing it with a broader community is really exciting. And it makes every day – I mean, I can work a 70-hour work week and love every minute of it.
Well, let me tell you, I knew you had that talent. I was following Rachel, everyone, on Instagram. She has the most amazing portfolio. Her Instagram handle, I'm going to tell them, is Green Gucci Girl. And it's phenomenal because she was a lover of street art. And in particular, she loved hearts. And so you would look at her Instagram and see the most amazing artwork throughout New York City and elsewhere. And I have to say, I was with Rachel. Where were we? Miami once for Art Basel when she had the Uber driver stop the car because somehow Rachel has eagle eyes and could see across the highway to the side of a building that had hearts on it. We were all like, what are you looking at? But she has such an amazing eye for talent and for art that it's really amazing that she's sharing it with all of us and helping artists to really spread their work and create awareness about the things that street artists are doing. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's the kind words of the artists that I work with and other curators and colleagues and friends that definitely keep me going. And I mean, support living artists is a hashtag that I use all of the time because I really believe in what these artists are doing. And then, as you mentioned, Hearts Find Me is another hashtag because I can walk cross the street in New York and then happened to see in a crosswalk an embedded heart. And somebody stopped once. He saw me stop to take a picture. He was riding by on a bike. He's like, how did you find this? And I was like, Hearts Find Me, which is why I named my company Queen of Hearts Productions. Excellent. It was just a natural fit.
It is a natural fit. And I'm so happy that you're in this space. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call our hotline to leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating, and it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on for you and you're just not sure how to navigate it. Or it could be an actual conflict where you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback on what we would do in that situation. So what are you waiting for? Pick up your phone and leave us a message. 646-363-3622. Without further ado, we'll play the first message for you.
Great, I'm excited.
Me too.
You have one message.
Hi, my name is Mandy, and I had some questions around marketing tips on social media. I am clearly not a millennial, but I do have a small business and know that I need to use social media in order to grow it. So any advice around marketing tips for social media would be greatly appreciated.
Well, that's a great question. So social media is a really wonderful tool to expand your reach, create awareness, create brand recognition. And especially if you have a visual product, that's a great way to do it for free, right? To put it up there. You use social media with some of your branding purposes, right, Rachel?
Absolutely. I mean, specifically because I am in the art world, Instagram is where I spend probably 35 to 40% of my time, my day, not even just in business hours. It's kind of the LinkedIn for the creative world. But in terms of specific tips, I think I'd already mentioned the hashtags that I use. I mean, I also use hashtag always better red and WeHeartStreetArt because that is my website, WeHeartStreetArt.com. So I think creating hashtags that identify what your business does, what you value you provide and what you want people to remember. And then every post you need to include them. Also, if Instagram works with your brand, you want to definitely be using Instagram stories because that is where most of the traction gets. I think that's what I would say is when you post something, you can also immediately comment with the 5 to 10 hashtags that represent what you are trying to communicate to people. And then if you're consistent, then you will start to appear in those tag searches. So I think it's consistency. Everybody always says content is king, but I prefer content is queen.
Love that.
So it's about volume and getting out there. Also, you can connect your Instagram with your company's Facebook page. That's something that is on my to-do list is to really reach out to Facebook, again, because the non-millennial demographic. I don't know if we're Gen Y.
We're Gen something.
We're Gen something. Exactly.
Are we Zennials? I don't even know.
Exactly. But I mean, I think the demographic 40 and above still is primarily on Facebook. So take advantage of the opportunity to only post something once and really capitalize on that.
I love what you said. You said a lot of great things, Rachel. And one of the things that you said was that for Instagram is LinkedIn for creatives. And what that taps into is really knowing your audience. It depends on your medium color. We don't know if you're a creative, if you're more on the visual or non-visual, if you're a service provider. We don't really have a good sense from that. But just assuming that you're in a creative space, definitely knowing which social media platform is best for you is key. So do a little bit of research to figure that out. I also heard you say that Instagram stories is a really great way to get your message out there. I know that they recently added IGTV too, mm-hmm. which I've heard is really helpful. For me, I think that knowing your audience, knowing what they're on. Rachel said she spends about 35 to 45% of her day on Instagram. Rachel and I had the good fortune of going to Art Basel in Miami in December. And I'm a lawyer. And so for me, I'm all about business cards. I think I packed like 100 business cards. I go to the first event with Rachel, and every single person that I met said, "When's your IG? What's your IG handle?" And I was like, "What? I don't even know. Is it Damali? I don't even know. Is there a hashtag in it? Is there a space in it? I have no idea." And so I realized really quickly that the currency, the business card, if you will, for creatives at Art Basel was immediately being able to exchange Instagram handles. And that was amazing. So I was like, now I got it. Every time I go into an art space, I'll be ready. I know what my Instagram handle is. Mm-hmm. And I also heard someone say that they were an Instagram artist. And so basically a lot of their sales were coming from Instagram. And so it's a really powerful platform to not only promote what you're doing and market it, but to also receive payment for your work.
Absolutely. And I mean – to take it beyond art, I know the broker that I work with, she said that she has secured above $20 million in sales by using Instagram, and that's in the real estate space.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and too, I would say if I also post on LinkedIn for when I have exhibits coming up, and the same advice I gave regarding hashtags for hashtags for Instagram applies to your LinkedIn profile. Although on LinkedIn, I will do hashtag women in business, hashtag CEO life, hashtag support women, and things like that. So that goes back to Damali's message about knowing your audience in terms of choosing where your hashtags and Instagram can be more creative. And then LinkedIn, you want to make it more refined for, again, your target audience.
Yeah. And you also said, Rachel, about being consistent. That
Absolutely.
Is key. And you mentioned the frequency that you post during the day. And I know that there's some information available online, probably also on the websites of some of these pages for social media platforms about the frequency of posting per day. But to your point, being consistent, some of the hashtags that you mentioned, I'm assuming that you consistently use them across the different posts. So if someone were to type in hashtag women in business or hashtag green Gucci girl or hashtag queen of hearts productions, they're going to see a wonderful portfolio of all the things that you've posted to those hashtags. Is that how it works?
That is how it works. And that actually reminds me, and I made a note to myself because I have not been using my creative hashtags on LinkedIn often enough, but you do want to link those because the algorithms and that'll come up in a web search will link those. And two, there's check out Planoly and Captivate are other opportunities to improve and increase your marketing bandwidth on Instagram specifically and other areas.
And you know what I like about what you said too, Rachel, is one, you provided some specific resources for our caller to follow, Planoly and Captivate, and right. Those are really great. I'd also like to mention that for me, getting into social media, you said you're not a millennial. We're not millennials. It was a little, for me, sort of overwhelming trying to figure out, okay, for Twitter, I can only do how many characters. For Facebook, I have to do this. For IG, I have to do this. And so what I found to be really helpful was, one, learning how to repurpose some of the information that I was using for one platform. Two, talking to people like Rachel and others in the marketing space who are spending a lot of time on a particular platform. And then three, I recently met someone who works for Instagram. And she said to me that videos are, to your point about Instagram stories, it's really the way to reach a wider range of people and to get more, I don't know, likes or brand awareness or views, because you can track it. We can track most of these things, I'm sure. And she showed us a picture, a still of Oprah when she was being filmed or photographed, rather, for the cover of perhaps O Magazine. I'm not sure what it was. And then she showed a video of the exact same situation, same outfit, same Oprah. And that video had received probably 40 or 50% more likes, more views, more clicks than the still photograph. And so to Rachel's point, I really love the idea of thinking of different ways to use social media that, one, is comfortable for you, that you can keep up consistently, and three, thinking about ways – I think I jumped from one to three, but we're going to go with it – thinking of different ways to repurpose the information that you have. And I know, as Rachel mentioned, there are a lot of resources available to help you with planning. I know my marketing person, shout out to Angela and Dive Marketing, she uses, I think, Sprout Social to plan some of the posts to my social media.
I think that's excellent. There are so many resources. It's just about finding what the good fit is. And I'll tell you, one of the challenges I had in embracing social media is the concept that it really had to be on camera. I mean, I'm a privacy attorney by background and in trade, and there were never pictures of my face. And so now I have to be out there. I'm learning to do Instagram Live, and that's without a script, but I think it's part of people expecting you to be more authentic and kind of put yourself out there. And I think the psychology potentially making yourself vulnerable and aware, which is of course not vulnerable and aware, vulnerable and available. The flip side too, of course, is that, I mean, everything is hyper curated, and you could go on and on about the concepts of what's going on with society. But that's the other thing, is if I am in the picture, I get, I don't know, exponentially more likes. And I don't know why, but that's another thing, is try and put yourself out there in a way that makes sense for your brand and what you're comfortable with.
Well, you know what I like about that too, is people know that it's not like just a computer or a robot or AI, but an actual person that they can connect with, which would make me, you know, give more likes to Rachel if I saw you in an image as well. So I can totally see people like feeling that California vibe and wanting to give you more likes. So caller, I think you've provided quite a lot of various ways to think about social media and using it to help launch your business. Hopefully you'll be able to use it to grow your business, and call us back. Let us know how you're doing. Let us know if you're able to use some of this feedback, start using any of these platforms that we mentioned, and we'd love to hear from you.
Definitely. Mandy, I would love to hear from you again.
Let's go to our next call.
You have one message.
Hi, Damali. My name is India, and I was reaching out to get suggestions around how to create a scalable product or service. I know you have several businesses and you've been able to do this effectively, and just wondering if you have some tips and suggestions on where to start and then how to really build your business to be able to scale that product or service. Thank you.
Well, that's a really good question, India. I think I'm going to try to tap into where I think you're going with it, because you're asking about how to build a business and to scale a product or service. And I think for anyone who started a business, like you have, Rachel, and I have as well, you have to figure out what you want to do with it. Is the goal just to help people who are nearby and you want to have just like one branch of what you're doing? Or is the goal to have a more global reach? Is it something that you want to scale? I think I would have to know a little bit more about your business, because of clearly products and services are different. I can tell you from personal experience, I have a company that's more service-based. And what I'm trying to do is to productize my services, because to me, that's the only way that I can scale and be everywhere, instead of being limited to what I can actually do or the people who are working for me can do. And so by productizing, I mean finding a way to put those personal or in-person services into a product. So this podcast is one of the products that I'm talking about. So being able to provide conflict resolution strategies via podcast is a nice product. We also have our blog, which I think is a great way to do it. And then two other products that I'm working on is a book and also an online training platform, online learning system. And so that is a way for, I mean, from my own personal experience, how I have considered scaling. But I think, again, to take your question a little more foundational, it's how do you know if you have an idea, a good idea that you should turn into a business? And Rachel, you had a great idea that you turned into a business. And so tell me, what was your journey like?
My journey's been a whirlwind. I consistently tell people that deciding to incorporate and start a business, thankfully I had Damali Law to help me out with that, start a business while curating a 10-day art show for the first time on the Bowery in Manhattan may not have been the easiest path, but it was certainly exciting. I think for me, it was recognizing the opportunity that was there and recognizing that there was space for me in the community, and that even though there were so many shows, I was approaching it a little differently. And I haven't met anybody that's specifically doing the charity auction curation, which I am doing in addition to curating exhibits. And so I think creating a scalable business requires a vision. I think you got to that a little bit in your comment and response, that figure out what you want to do in terms of local or global or things like that. I think there's have a vision, but at the same time, don't limit yourself to a vision and have a dream. I mean, Damali and I have billion-dollar business goal conversations all of the time. And I think that when the sky is the limit to what you think you can achieve, it helps you reach the moon, right? I think that's probably a little bit taken from the Petit Prince. And it may sound cliche, but I do believe that that's what happens. And what I have found, the sky is the limit is when I decided to create the company and pivot and try and make this my full-time business. And because I put myself out there, then opportunities have arisen for other curation in terms of the broker saying, hey, I need this work, in terms of charities reaching out and saying, curate for me. So I think that there is definitely an element of opening yourself up to broad possibilities, and then what you may not have even looked for can appear. But that's kind of more my inherent cheerleader in terms of really saying, when you're trying to scale, think broadly, because I think that women, to make a gross broad generalization, is that we tend to think too narrowly and we hamstring ourselves.
Absolutely. And I like that you said that if the sky is the limit, then you can reach the moon. So you can actually exceed that ceiling. I love that advice. I also like that you said kind of find your niche. Mm-hmm. You went out there, you started with one product, and then by putting yourself out there, you were able to find a place for yourself among nonprofit organizations for art curation, also with the broker in the real estate arena. And that's not where you initially started. And so I think what you're also saying is being open to various opportunities that arise while you're on your path and throughout your journey, which I think is wonderful advice, Rachel. I also heard you say that you have to have a vision. And I think that it's so important to have a vision and to know what your plan is. You also have to be able to pivot if other opportunities arise and say, well, you know what, that wasn't what I had envisioned, but it sounds like a great opportunity, so let's go for it. At the same time, hopefully it's still within, you know, the I don't know if it's the airport or basically still within the same arena of what you're thinking right about. I know that for me, I was really focused on not doing too many things that were outside of the scope of what I had planned, meaning if I'm practicing law, I want to stay focused on corporate transactional law and not all of a sudden become a cybersecurity expert like Rachel, because that's not what I do. Right. So I wanted to stay on track. And so I think for you, caller, without having more insight into your product or your specific service, find ways to create a niche for yourself. Figure out what problem you're trying to solve or what need you're trying to address with what you're doing. And if you do that, then you can start thinking about various opportunities on how to scale. I will also leave you with this advice. If you can, do a little bit of research on the market. Because
Absolutely.
You can, right, Rachel? Yeah, no, right. So, because you can figure out what the market's doing. You can figure out who has a market share, if any. You can figure out if it's a fragmented market that's ripe for consolidation. And so there are business libraries in many cities. I don't know where you're calling from. I know that here in New York, there is Sybil, which is on Madison and 32nd, where you can use the computers there and access IBISWorld, IBISWORLD.com. If you were to access IBISWorld from your home, you would have to pay, I think, something around, you know, $900 per report if you wanted to download a report. However, the business library here in New York City, and I'm assuming others as well, has a subscription. And because they have a subscription, you're able to download reports using their subscription. And so I highly recommend you do a little bit of research to help you sort of figure out if you have a product or service that has the ability to be scaled, meaning what's the market share, how much do people spend on this particular item, and then take it from there. Hopefully that was helpful. Please let us know what you're thinking. Call back and provide some feedback. We love to hear what our callers are doing with the insight that we share. I want to thank you for those calls. I want to thank the audience for tuning in. And Rachel, I want to thank you so much for being in the studio today. You were just amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm always happy to spend time sitting and chatting with you.
Oh, likewise. We had all those eavesdroppers today, but that's okay. I get to share you and your lovely energy and your art curation with the world. Rachel is doing some really impressive things. What we'll do in the comments is make sure we add all of her hashtags, all of her handles, and maybe even some of the artists that she represents. I mean, there are too many to list, but we can kind of highlight a few. But if you follow her on Instagram, I'm sure you'll have a keen insight into what's going on in her world. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH, capital A, capital D, capital R. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.